Well, thank you, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. I do want to thank you, Anita, for the opportunity to be here on this occasion. And it is a significant landmark occasion. And to have, as Jeremy said, to have had the privilege to journey with this church over a long, long time. I'm just curious, by the way, how many of you were here in that season of when this building was built or opened? Give me a wave if you were here, yeah? There was just a handful of you.
Yeah.
Just a handful. And I saw, obviously, as Jeremy said, the photos of some have gone on to be with the Lord. And so it is an emotional occasion. One thought struck me just while we were watching those pictures was that, you know, what we build, what was built back then, was built for those who were not here yet.
Yeah.
And the majority of you were not here then. So, and I want to say, roll that forward. What we do now, what you do in this church now, whatever buildings, whatever happens, and it's not just about the physical building, but that has been so significant. What you build now in terms of church is for those who are not yet here. And so that just struck me so significantly this morning. And it's congratulations to all of you. And 20 years ago, by the way, 20 years ago, 2004, Prime Minister was John Howard, the National Federal Treasurer was Peter Costello. Queensland Premier was Peter Beattie, who got re-elected again that year. Queensland Opposition Leader was Lawrence Springbrook, who was your local member, and who was present at the opening when we did the opening of the building. George W. Bush was the President of the United States. It was the year that Jetstar launched their first flight in Australia, 20 years ago, from Newcastle to Launceston by Melbourne. That was the first Jetstar 20 years ago. Amazing, huh? Australian population was 19.9 million. So it's grown quite a lot in that time. Petrol was an average 95 cents a litre. Oh, bring back the good old days. For those of you interested, it was the year of the last episode of Burke's Backyard. That was 20 years ago. When I saw that, I thought, wow, was that 20 years? Burke's Backyard, 20 years ago, the last. It was, and it was mentioned just before, the movie The Passion, that was the year that that was released. 2004, 20 years ago. And finally, you know, it was, for those of you who remember, one of the top singles that year in Australian charts was Shannon Gold's song, What About Me? Amazing. 20 years ago. How does that go? And more significantly, 20 years ago, as we've said this morning, Vineyard Christian Church moved into its own building. Hallelujah. And what a remarkable thing. It was the beginning of a new era. Beginning of a new era. And today we celebrate the journey. We celebrate the journey, and it's an amazing landmark. I honestly, I was thinking, and I said this, you know, to Rolly and Dot yesterday, or maybe even said to Jeremy. The vision and the thing that God put in their heart, and many of you will not know the price they've made personally, and others, that to see this happen. I doubt, only God knows, that this building would be here if it wasn't for Rolly and Dot. And they were just serving God and following what God put in their heart and serving humbly. And there are other people like Lyle and Helen and others that played a significant role in the journey. And we do want to honor you and thank you. And for those of you that have come in more recent times, now what you build, and again, not just the physical building, you're building it for others. When we do stuff, we think this is for us. But actually, we're building for those who are not here yet when it comes to the church. And that's what we're about. And only God knows, in the past 20 years, the lives that have been touched and changed as people come and go and flow through, lives that have been touched and changed in this place. It's important to, as we're doing this morning, reflect on the past and honor the past. But we don't live in it. We're focused on the future. It's like you need to have the rear vision mirror in your car, but you actually look through the windscreen most of the time. Okay, otherwise that's not going to be good. The past, of course, has its highs and lows, and it's good and bad. And And but today we look forward and celebrate a little bit. It's good to celebrate. Celebration is actually a biblical principle. There's lots of parties and celebration in the Bible. And I think it's clearly there are times that call for a celebration. It's interesting to know that even in the process of creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, we read it in Genesis, God stood back at the end of each day, we read, and even though the work was not yet finished, he would stop and he would acknowledge what had already happened and celebrate that, and God saw that it was good. At the end of each day, God would step back and go, and he saw that it was good. And this is a God saw that it was good moment. And as we look back even those 20 years, God saw that it was good, and he looks today and sees that it was good. But the work is not finished. The work is not finished. And those of you that are part of this church family, you're here to build on that and to carry on whatever God wants to do for this church and this community and beyond into the future. This is the moment where your history meets your destiny. This is the moment where your history meets your destiny, meets your future. I don't think I would need to check with both Rolly and Don, and then over the last 11 years, Jeremy and Anita, as pastors of this church, to see if there had not been some highs and lows during the journey. If there had not been like a roller coaster ride. How many know that life very often is a bit of a roller coaster ride? And if we were to go back even just for a moment in history right now, 2,000 years plus ago, when the church was born, we would discover also that it had been a roller coaster ride for those founding members, those disciples and those early followers of Jesus. It's interesting, today is Palm Sunday. As we lead up to Easter, it's Palm Sunday, and it's the celebration of when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. But in the coming weeks and over that journey, which saw really the birth of the church, and in the next less than 2 months from Palm Sunday, man, they go from having seen Jesus ride triumphantly during Palm Sunday parade, then they have to deal with Judas' betrayal, and his death. Their own desertion, the disciples, they had to process and deal with their own desertion of Jesus. I mean, all this happened. You know, talk about a roller coaster. Then they witnessed his death, his crucifixion, and his burial. And some of them left town so disappointed. They thought maybe they had missed it. They believed in a false hope. Then 3 days later, of course, they saw a resurrected Jesus, and their faith was restored, and they looked forward to the coming kingdom of God, as Jesus spoke about. And they stayed with Jesus another 40 days as he was after his resurrection. Then he ascended into heaven, left them, promised the sending of the Holy Spirit. So then they head to Jerusalem. Talk about a roller coaster ride. Then they head, this was all in 7 weeks. Then they head to Jerusalem. Back into Jerusalem, they're scared for their lives because both the Jewish and the Roman authorities were watching them incredibly closely. They're hiding together, probably in waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're hiding together in probably the same room where they had the Last Supper. We notice the upper room. And altogether, there are about, we know, 120 that were gathered. By the way, it was interesting because Jesus spoke to 500 on the day and said, go and wait in Jerusalem. In the end, only 120 did it out of the 500. There were 500 that heard that instruction, and the day there were only 120 that lasted the 10 days and were there when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. And then, of course, Acts chapter 2, we read on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and really it was the birth of the church as we know it. But you think back to here they are, 120 of them in the upper room after all they'd been through, this roller coaster ride. They had no idea of the significance of what the future held, of the fact that this small, comparably small group they gathered together and they had no idea of what the future held. They had really no concept of the fact that this group and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and within days, of course, we know 3,000 were added. 3,000 were saved on that day. And then from there, the church has grown and continued to grow through the roller coaster ride, through persecution, through all sorts of things in history, to where there are more Christians on the planet today than ever before. Ever before. Oh, it's an amazing journey. It's an amazing journey. And I think it gives us courage and encouragement to know that, hey, through all the ups and downs, the roll, when things look like they were at an end, when it looked like there was no hope, through all the stuff, and yet here we are today. And it all goes back to that little roller coaster ride all those 2,000 years ago. And so we sometimes don't know what God has in store for us and the significance as we're obedient to Him. What we do know is that the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost is with us today to empower us to move forward in the purposes of God, to reach our world, a world that is broken and hurting and dysfunctional, to reach our generation, to reach our community with the same message, about Jesus and the never-ceasing love of God and His power to change the human condition. That's what it's about. It's about the power of God to change and transform. There's something about the presence of God. And I'll just touch on this a little bit later, in late November, I bought tickets and I took my daughter to the Paul McCartney concert on the Gold Coast. And for those of you that are younger, Paul McCartney was part of the band a long time ago, known as the Beatles. And it was absolutely amazing, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. It was phenomenal. The lights, the sound, the music, I mean, he was just amazing. 81 years of age. 81 years of age and just absolutely brilliant. And I'm watching people reliving their youth. There's a guy in front of me, probably would have been in his 60s, just there. And he was just lost. He was tripping out. I don't think he was taking anything, but I think he was tripping out. It was amazing. And I was on a high for about 3 days. It was just such a good, I didn't take anything either. It was just the music. It was just truly remarkable. It was a wonderful concert. The next morning, I'm preaching at a church, maybe just a little bit bigger than this, just outside of Brisbane. And to be honest, the worship team wasn't as good. You guys did a great job. It was a great worship this morning. The presence of God was here. And I'm in the front row waiting to get up and preach during the worship. The lights wasn't as good. The music wasn't as good. There was no lasers. There was no fireworks. And the singer wasn't as good. But there was something. I'm standing there going, wow. All of last night and everything that I so enjoyed was something here that wasn't there. The presence of God. Never underestimate. We can't always describe it, but you know when He's there. And it's a presence of God. It's an encounter with Jesus that actually changes people's lives. It's not programs. It's not songs. It's not even gathering together. It's not being a club. It's actually absolutely the presence of Jesus that transforms people's lives. And we have, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have the challenge and the mandate to take His love and His message to our world. Whatever our world, and for all of us, our world is unique. And just as I was saying, just like back then, 2,000 years ago with those early disciples, God had so much more for them. So much more He wanted to do. And I thought it was interesting that Dot said this morning, just finished up her little comments about God's got more. Because that's just the thought I want to leave with you this morning. There's more. God has so much more for you and for this church. There's more. Like that, those early disciples, they really had no concept of what that more looked like. It was massive. They had no idea. There's more. The word more that could be translated, and depending on the particular version of translation you read, it may be different, but the word more is used some 584 times in the Bible. Ephesians 3:20, I love, one of my favorite verses. Now, to him who is able to do, now, the Old King James Version says exceedingly abundantly above. I love that. Exceeding abundantly above. The NIV says, newer translations say, unto him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within, God is able to do more. Romans 8:37 says that, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Isn't that interesting? We're more than you. Paul didn't write and say, you are conquerors. I mean, that would be fantastic. In all these things, we are conquerors. No, he says, in all these things, you are more than conquerors. Wow. More. He's the God of more. He's the God of more. He's talking to his disciples, and he says there's so much more in John 16. So much more I would like to say to you. How many of you know that God's got more to say to you yet? There's more. Psalm 23 talks about our cup overflows. God doesn't just fill us up, he wants us to overflow. It's a theme right throughout Scripture. When Jesus does the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, wasn't just, wow, just enough. That was the last person in the crowd and it's just run out. No, they took up 12 baskets full because he's the God of more. They were left over. There was more. See, we sometimes limit God, but I want to tell you, he's the God of more. Hallelujah. He's got more for you. He's the God of more. It's an interesting passage and story, and I won't take time to read it, but 2 Kings chapter 4 in the Old Testament, verses 5 through 7, is the story of the widow woman with two young sons. And that we find it hard to believe in our world, but in that era and in that time, of course, they were in debt. There was no Centrelink payments, and they had no means. She had no means of feeding her boys. She was going to have to sell them off to slave traders, basically. And Elisha is on the scene, and she cries out for help, and he gives her instructions. He says, "Go and get all the jars that you can." She's got just a little bit of oil left. Just a little bit of oil left. That's all she's got. He says, "Go and get all the jars that you can, and bring them in." And she shuts the door, and her boys go and borrow jars from neighbors, and then she starts pouring the oil, and it kept going, and it kept going, and kept going until she says, "Bring me some more." And the boy said, "There is no more. That's it." And then the oil stopped. That's an interesting story because what God can do is always limited to the capacity provided. And the capacity in our lives is unlocked by faith. That's what it is. It's our faith. It's the capacity. It's our ability. There's so many dynamics of faith. We don't have time to drill into that this morning. But God was limited by the capacity provided. What sort of capacity are you providing for God to do something great? Because that is the limitation. And sometimes I think, and I know from my journey, sometimes our faith shrinks. Sometimes we get battered on that journey, the ups and downs and the challenges of life, and our capacity actually shrinks. But God always has more. The limitation is never with God. He's the God of the more. See, and it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. So some of the people that I knew quite well who've gone on to be with the Lord, who were part of that building, people on roller brushes and doing stuff, and they were not young then. And we were young then, Rolly.
Of course.
Of course. And I love this. Rolly and I were talking about this yesterday, actually. So apparently, there's a rumor going around that we're all getting older. I'm not giving into that. I'm only 35, as I said to Ronnie, but I've been in ministry for 10 years. It's tough. That's why I look this old. Now, but I love this verse in Proverbs 4:18. It says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day." That's the path of the just. It's like the sun, and it keeps getting brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And you know the perfect day for us? Perfect day for us and is actually the day that we go to be with Jesus. That actually is the perfect day. But what the scripture is saying is that the journey should get brighter and brighter until that perfect day, the path of the just. I love that thought. Now, there are different seasons and expressions on our journey. You know, we start, we're young, and we get married, and we have kids maybe, and then the kids grow up, and I mean, there are different seasons. There are different expressions on the journey, but God's always got more for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Just check your breathing. If you're breathing, you're alive, then God's got more for you yet. There's a reason that you're here. John chapter 10, verse 10, is a verse that I think almost everybody here would know. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it a little bit abundantly." They might have it more. There it is again. They might have it more abundantly. I love the way the Passion Translation puts it. Jesus says, "I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow." Until you overflow. So, abundant, God is the God of abundance. He's the God of more. He's the God of overflow. And he wants our lives to overflow with his life. Why? So that we can splash some life on others. Hallelujah. So that, you know, when something overflows and it splashes, you ever poured something out and it's overflowed or whatever and it's splashed on you? Well, God fills us with life, not just so that there's enough for us. Jesus didn't say, "I've come to give you everything, just enough for you." No, no, I've come to give it to you abundantly so that, in fact, it will overflow, not just enough with me. But we should be about splashing other people with life and joy and kindness and all the things that are part of the nature and character of Jesus. But often we allow our lives to be wrong. The devil, the enemy, comes to rob, kill, destroy. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been robbed of my joy, robbed of faith, robbed of courage, robbed of a sense of life. Sometimes that's almost been killed off in my life as you go through certain seasons. Sometimes we aid and abet the thief. Sometimes we actually help the enemy in his mission to rob and to kill and destroy. We allow ourselves to be robbed. How's your joy level? How's your life level at the moment? Jesus came to give you life overflowing. I think of it a bit like this. Sometimes we think, yeah, I have life. I have your life, Jesus. But sometimes I think it's a bit like, remember the Crocodile Dundee movie where Paul Hogan playing Dundee is on the streets of New York, I think it is, and they get attacked by a couple of thugs, and the guy's got a knife, and Hogan goes, "That's not a knife. This is a knife." And he pulls out this massive big knife. And I sometimes think we're a bit like that. It's like, yeah, I've got life. And Jesus goes, "No, that's not life. This is life. He's got more. He's got more for you. He's got more for you. And whatever stage of life you're at, he's got more." The key is that we have to align our lives with him. John 15, again, a well-known passage. Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. He says, "You must remain in life union with me," verse 4. "For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless." Will be fruitless. Well, just one more. Okay, here we go. unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Christmas Eve, I live on the Gold Coast, and Christmas Eve we had a massive storm sweep through, which did unbelievable damage. In fact, I knew it was bad. I got home at 7 o'clock that night and been with family for the day, and got home at 7 o'clock, 7:30, 9 o'clock it hit, and I thought, this is wild. I mean, it was crazy. And I didn't realise how wild until the next morning, and across the road, my neighbour's there, car on the road was flattened by a big tree. There was branches, my swimming pool. Got a swimming pool, it looked like a swamp with branches and leaves and twigs and stuff. And drove down the road, it was like a four-wheel drive track with so many trees down. It was insane. And the thing I noticed that very quickly, so there was trees and branches down everywhere. I remember just even the next day, driving a day or two later, and these branches, how quickly they died. Because once they've been severed, once they were no longer connected to the source of life, they dried up and died very quickly. And that's the picture Jesus gives us here. That life. How many of you want life? Yeah. How about you? But I do. I'm not like, what's his name? Give me death. Give me freedom or give me death. No, I love life. Thank you. No. Jesus came to give us life. Life is full of options, choices, opportunities. We were not created, God didn't create us to be robots, puppets, but free thinking. He gave us free will. He gave us creative ability. We're created in the image of God. He's a creative God. And you create every day. Without realizing it, we think of creativity as being musical or dance or art or something. But you create every day. You create by your attitude. You create by your words. You create by your thoughts. I mean, I could use words now that could create all sorts of responses and reactions and feelings and atmosphere in here. How many of you have seen somebody say something and the atmosphere changes in the room like that? Wow, how creative are we? See, God gave us that creative ability. We don't realize sometimes how much we use that creative ability just in our day-to-day lives. We're constantly creating responses in other people. We're creating atmosphere. We're creating so many things around us. And we have capacity to fulfill great potential. More than we realize. A few months ago, I did up the master bedroom at home. Pull everything out, clean everything, strip everything back, repaint it, change the colors, because I realized that the colors on the particular feature wall from 15, 16 years ago, things have changed, it's a different season. And so, and put just a whole lot of different stuff. Sometimes a different season requires different things. One of the keys to life is knowing the season, knowing what season you're in. And knowing, like, I've come to realize recently that in this season of my life, I'm probably not going to get to play cricket for Australia. It's just, that's not the season. I think I missed it. Okay. I can live with that. All right, I can live. But there's stuff that I can do. So you've got to know your season. And I was praying this morning before church, and I just sense that even this next season in your life, and I know your heart to serve God and be blessed, and I just sense it's actually going to multiply. Just the grace that's upon you, and you're literally going to, I love the word infuse, but you are going to infuse life. You will bring an infusion of life into so many people. It's like, how many buy tea bags that have got some sort of infusion? You're going to be like that. You're going to infuse flavor and life into people more than ever in this next season. I just sense God's grace upon you that just wherever you go, whoever you meet, you're going
going to impart, you're going to infuse life into them.
Gotcha. Well,
amen. You're not done. You weren't done, you know that. You weren't done, you know, when the building was built 20 years ago. You weren't done when you handed over the reins 11 years ago to Jeremy and Nina. You're still, and there's more.
Yeah.
There's more. But you've got to know your season. So here's my question to everybody this morning. What's God put in you that's not yet explored? What's God put in you that you have not yet explored or developed? You know, I talk about different colors. What colors do you need to paint with? God's a God of vibrance and color. And how can you create a vibrant life, whether you're 20 or whether you're 80, add some vibrancy. There's some things I didn't want to do in my life. There's a few things happened in the last 12 months that made me think about my life and what I want it to look like in the next decade. Now, we have no guarantees around how long we have, but there's certain things we do have control over, and I want to. There's certain things I want to do. There's certain things God's put in me, certain abilities that I yet want to explore. There's other stuff I yet want to do. My words, I talked about Paul McCartney. I was actually so inspired by McCartney. As I said, 81 years of age, and here he is up. He does a three-hour concert without a break. He starts out playing electric guitar, then he goes to, I can't remember the order now, then he goes to acoustic, then he goes to the keyboard, and he plays mandolin, then he plays bass guitar, I mean, and sings, and just the energy. 81 years of age, and and it's easy to think that, it's all right. But no, it's not. Now, I'm not saying you should tour the world like McCartney. Have a go if you want, but that may not be your thing. But I was so inspired. The life and the energy. A few things happened. One was that 12 months ago when I was here, I had to preach from a stool because I had badly injured my back. Some of you may remember that. By the way, how many of you have never seen me before? Can you wave if you've never seen me before? Wow, okay. Where have you been? that's right. I always love it when there's new people that are in the church, because that's what it's here for. It's for those who have not been here before. And so last year when I was here, I just, not long, some weeks before, suffered a serious back injury. It was one of the first weekends that I had begun to preach again. I was in agony, and Steve, the masseur, he's not here this morning, but I saw him yesterday. And Jeremy arranged for me to get a massage, which kind of helped me get through the weekend. And I preached from a stool, I couldn't stand. I was in agony. Had spent 2 or 3 weeks flat on my back in absolute excruciating agony. Lost 5 kilos. I'll put that back on now. it was a painful way to lose weight, I can tell you. But it made me think about what I want the rest of life to look like. I was with my friend, one of my friends, Chris Moll here, who passed a New Hope in Toowoomba. About 12 months ago, probably 14, 16 months ago. Chris, when he was young, used to busk in King's Cross, used to play guitar and whatever, and came to the Lord, and then hadn't done that, hadn't played guitar for years, and in recent years, it refreshed his interest in music and playing guitar, and he's now got a collection of some beautiful guitars. So I'm there home one night, and he and I get downstairs, and we end up jamming till wee hours of the morning, and I haven't played for ages, but it inspired me. I was a muser when I was younger, to reignite that ability in my life, that capacity. And there's other things that God has put within me that I want to do. The other thing that challenged me to think about life and life overflow was in December. I conducted the funeral of one of our pastor's wives, and she was a pastor in her own right, from Bribie Island. Helen was only 61 years of age. Had a stroke and gone like that. And it was so, she was a person who just did so much. She was non-stop. She was She's been a missionary. What she achieved, the place that morning was packed. It was about 400 people. There was people outside. It was just quite remarkable. And it makes you think, yeah, we know this life is short, but you want to suck the juice out of it while you have it. You want to make the most of it. See, God's got more. God's got more for you. So, you know, this year, in January, thinking about setting up my life for the next decade. What colors do I want to paint that picture with? What's in you that God has not yet, you've not yet explored? What has God put in you? So again, in John chapter 15, verse 11, the last scripture, Jesus says, "My purpose for telling you these things," he says, "is so that the joy I experience will fill your hearts," so here we go again, "will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness." Overflowing gladness. Truth is, most people are overflowing with something. Yeah, just what? I mean, how many of you know you hang out with some people and they splash stuff on you? You go away feeling negative, feeling depressed, feeling because they've splashed you with what they're overflowing with. And we all go through dark moments and tough times. But I want to be somebody who, as was Jesus' intention, is overflowing with life. Because there's more. There's more. Sometimes we just get so caught up doing what we do, and we lose the joy. Not to say we're doing anything wrong, but we just lose the joy. And there's more. God is the God of more. And I want to encourage you, because by the way, we keep telling ourselves stories that give us excuses for being less. Oh, I can't because, I can't because, I can't because. But you have the capacity for more. God has more for you. And I want to encourage you this morning to keep growing. Keep close to Jesus. He's the source of life. People out there do all sorts of stuff to, and it's momentary and it's enjoyable. It's like, but no, he's got life. He has real life. And that's where we need to plug into. You know, and then in that, not to be afraid to explore what can you do. I accidentally came this weekend to Stanthorpe to buy some Jack Burns plum sauce. I think that's fantastic. You know, here she is at 25, making plum sauce. And no, but yesterday when I saw the stall there, that's awesome. You know, there's more. It's more plum sauce. whatever. But what's more for you? What's more for you? Maybe that more is released in something that's in your heart that you want to do in the community or the people. Maybe you come and have a chat with Pastor Jeremy and say, "Pastor Jeremy, I've got this real heart to do whatever." You know, or maybe it's just walking across the road to help a neighbor. There's more! What do you want to do? You know, one of the things about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I did just a short course at QUT in Brisbane, a professional development course. I want to do another one in the next year or so. What, at your age, you're still going to uni? No, just for short. I want to grow more. I want to learn more. Don't stop learning. You stop learning, you stop living. Okay, keep growing, because God is always the God of more. And for this church, God has more. God has more. I wonder if Pastor Jeremy and the team, if you'd come back up. Just want to take a moment before we close. And just about done. I don't really count as a visiting speaker anymore. I've been here so many times. But I do want you just to take a moment as we close. I want you just right now, close your eyes. I love a line that Anita used in communion this morning. She was talking about the definition of righteous. And part of that was, as you ought to be, as you ought to be. And what you ought to be is what God really intended for you. What God put within you. And may
maybe you haven't fully developed. Maybe you've not surrendered to Him. This morning, are you all you ought to be? In the midst of the trials of the roller coaster ride of life, are you all that you ought to be? Are you all that God has put within you? Maybe your faith has been battered and it's shrunk. That's the thing. Your faith is the capacity. Right now, let God just expand your heart. If maybe you've just kind of shrunk in your thinking. Father, right now, I just pray that you'd come with your fresh dreams. Fresh dreams. Fresh hope. Pray you cause us to think outside of the boundaries and the box of just our normal everyday existence, realize you have more. You have more. Let me just say this. Some of this might sound unspiritual, but it might be a particular gift or hobby or talent that you have. You think, well, that's not spiritual. No, but if God put that ability within you, it's amazing how that can build opportunity for connection with other people. You just don't know. God, right now, just come expand people's thinking. I pray that there would come a fresh flow of your life right now in Jesus' name. Your life, your life, your life. Where there has been despair, let there come hope. Where there has been hopelessness, let there be an expectation for the future. God, I pray, help us to look towards the future with anticipation. And begin to dream. Some of you need to dream again. You had dreams when you were younger. Life has happened. Dream. Whether you're 20, whether you're 80, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Let God just rest. And again, there's more. It's a new era. And for some of you, even this morning, it's not just for this church. Stepping into a new era. And I don't think it really is. It's a significant landmark, occasion, and time. For many of some of you here today individually, it's God wants to bring you to a new era. But you need to work with Him to create that. He doesn't just drop it out of heaven. If you're here this morning, again, just while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if God's just spoken to you in whatever way this morning and just challenged you, maybe convicted you, maybe inspired you to step out and to dream. If that's just you, just raise your hand where you are, because I want to just pray. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His hands are going up all over this place. Fantastic. Anybody else this morning, just raise your hand just for a moment. Thank you. Let me pray. Then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Jeremy. God, I thank you for every hand raised this morning. You know every individual life. You know every individual journey. You know what's within the heart of each person. You know the challenges and the obstacles and the difficulties. But God, for each person that's raised their hand, particularly this morning, I pray now, let there come fresh life, fresh faith, fresh hope, fresh courage. You are the giver of life. Help us to be those who overflow with life, that we might splash others, I pray in Jesus' name. I want to just, one other thought just came to mind as I was praying. Some of you go, well, yeah, it's all right for other people. Yeah. You don't have the limitations. You don't know the limitations of my life. You don't know, I'm so limited. For those of you that know music, do you know there are actually only 12 notes? It's amazing when you think about it. Now, there's different octaves, but it's the same. It keeps being repeated. Only 12 notes. Scale. Could you imagine if music, and yet we have, by the way, millions and millions of songs that are built out of such a small opportunity, it seems. Could you imagine some music writer or songwriter going, well, I'd write some more, but all the notes have been used. You don't know my limitations. So I got weapons. You can imagine, if you've ever been overseas and you've seen some of the great art work of some of the great classic artists. Some of them are on big on buildings and on big places, but some are just on, you know, canvas. Could you imagine a Rembrandt or a Monet or whoever saying, "Ah, I have more in me than that limitation. I'm not going to paint because it's too small, I'm too limited to paint on that canvas or that building. I'm too limited to write a song. No. Because God's always the God of more. Hallelujah. Whatever your limitations are, I tell you, God's got more for you. While in Helen, I sense, you know, you guys have done so much in your life and with your life, not just in business, but for the kingdom. And I just sense God wants you to be really intentional about this next season, because I sense this is the word I have, is legacy, is setting up so that the legacy of all you built is not just business and whatever, but it's kingdom impact. And I just sense something in this next season that the legacy of all the years of work and what you've done, but God's got more. And I just sense, I want to encourage you, wait on God. Just wait on God. And maybe it's already a journey you're on, but I don't know. But wait on God, because I just sense that there is God's going to give you specific strategy, ideas, revelation, which will create kingdom legacy out of what God's enabled you to build and create over the decades. Amen. Pastor Jeremy.